Psalm 138, starting in verse 1. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. On the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. And they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hands. A psalm of praise, clearly, as you can see, a psalm of thanks that we just read, and I trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word this morning.
Turn in your Bibles back to Psalm 138, if you would. We're going to park on that for most of the message, although we will look at a few other passages for the additional scripture you can see there in your bulletins. Now, have you ever read through the Guinness Book of Records to discover who has done what the best or most or the longest? How many have ever read through the book Guinness Book of Records? Okay, I've heard about it, but I haven't actually looked through it. There are people in the world today whose one consuming goal is to set a new world's record for something or to get into the Guinness Book of Records. The thought occurred to me around Thanksgiving Day several years ago. I wonder who was the most thankful person in the world. Now, that's the kind of goal we should be striving for as God's children. As I started researching the scriptures to see whether or not I could discover who could meet this description, I started a list of candidates. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only man who was perfect and therefore would naturally be the most thankful man that ever lived on the earth because he did everything perfectly and always pleased God the Father, as is recorded in Scripture. Aside from our Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is in that exclusive category of perfection, who of all the rest of us sinners would earn that title of the most thankful man who ever lived? Well, I notice Scripture points out some individuals whose single acts of thankfulness are worthy of mention. For instance, out of the 10 lepers that the Lord Jesus healed, only one came back and thanked him. Then there was the unnamed woman in Luke chapter 7 who washed the feet of the Lord Jesus with her tears and dried them with her hair, who demonstrated her love and gratitude for the Lord's forgiving her all her many sins. Then, of course, there was the demoniac of Gadara or Gerasa. Both names are used in the New Testament, out of whom the Lord cast a legion of demons. He was so thankful that he wanted to accompany the Lord and serve him. But when the Lord told him to stay in his hometown and tell others what he had done for him, he gladly obeyed, to the point that the next time Jesus came back to that city, the people of that region were ready to receive him as Savior. Paul, the apostle, would probably have to be a runner-up to the most thankful man that ever lived. From what we see of his life of absolutely consecrated service to the Lord Jesus, from the moment he met him on the road to Damascus, and from what we read of his own words of thankfulness to his Lord, I believe I counted 25 times that he personally gives thanks to God. And we read in 13 different verses his exhortations to every believer to be thankful to God. For instance, we find this exhortation in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One of those verses that I hope you'll memorize. You know, I encourage you to memorize verses and passages of Scripture. This would be one of them, all right? Now, however, the Scriptures give overwhelming evidence of one man whose thankfulness to God was so constant throughout his life that he composed over 100 Hebrew hymns of praise to God, recorded for time and eternity in the book of Psalms. As you may have guessed by now, this man was King David of Israel. Let's read one of these Psalms of praise and notice both his use of the word thanks and the obvious thankfulness of his heart that overflows from this psalm. Psalm 138. You'd turn there with me if you're not already there. That was our scripture reading for this morning. We're going to read it again. Psalm 138. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. On the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. And they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hands. In order to help us learn from David's thankful heart and apply it to our own lives, let's ask ourselves some questions and find the answers in God's Word. The first question is this: how did David demonstrate his thankfulness? How did David demonstrate his thankfulness? Well, it's important to keep in mind that everything we do is a direct result of what first takes place in our heart and our thoughts. David knew that his thoughts had to be brought under control to a God-centered focus. He first of all cultivated thankfulness in his heart. Keep your place in Psalm 138, but would you turn with me to the book of Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, we read this: For as he thinks within himself, so he is. Here, this verse is telling us that how you think in your heart, how you think in your thoughts, reveals who you really are. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it, your heart, flow the springs of life. In other words, whatever is in your heart, that's what's going to come out. That's what's going to reveal who you are. Those are the choices you're going to make because of what is in your heart. And now back to Psalm, but this time Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So we can see that our heart is actually going to produce what is part of us, who we are. And God wants us to control that. God wants us to nurture what is right in our hearts. The most obvious way David demonstrated his thankfulness publicly was by his words. He apparently had been writing and singing psalms all the way back to his teen years as he shepherded his father's flocks. Some of you are gifted that way, and maybe you wrote poems when you were teenagers, and I won't have you raise your hands, but you know who you are. And I even wrote a few little things, but probably would not be considered high poetry. You know, they were more like, I don't know, just low poetry, whatever. Just fun rhymes. Okay. But the fact is, when thankfulness is welling up in your heart, it just bubbles over and has to come out. As David himself wrote in Psalm 23, my cup overflows. Or if you have the King James Version, it renders it, my cup runneth over. When it's in your heart, it just overflows. It just comes out. And some of you know me that that's the kind of person I am. That when there's joy in my heart, it's just going to bubble out. And you better, you know, grab a cup, you know, keep it from going on the floor, whatever. But you're just glad, and it comes out in your words, your actions, your face. I've got one of those faces that you can tell exactly what's going on in my heart because my face is like a video screen of what's going on in my heart. Some of you, you know, you have a face, it's like, you know, it's just a blank wall, you know, no matter what's going on inside, blank wall. Not me, nope. My brother probably is that way, but not me. What you see is what you get. The fact is, when thankfulness is welling up in your heart, it just bubbles over, has to come out. So the easiest and first way, usually, for thankfulness to come out, of course, is through our lips, through what we say. There are several other ways that David's thanksgiving was expressed outwardly. Sometimes David's overflowing heart of thankfulness caused him to leap and dance with joy. Okay, some of you would say, not me. You know, thankfulness maybe causes your toe to twitch, you know, whatever. But nope. But hey, I could get into that. I could jump. Probably when I was younger, I'd jump more than now. But anyway, David, as a king, also took time to carefully plan out and organize ways that God's name would be praised and glorified on a regular basis by a specially appointed choir and orchestra. This was their full-time job. Can you imagine to be able to be in the choir orchestra in David's kingdom? And just that was your full-time job. Wow, what a blessing that would be. By the way, have you ever noticed that a thankful heart is contagious? You can motivate others to be thankful by your own thankfulness. And I encourage you to do that. Let people know that you're thankful. Let it come out to where it affects others. Right now, you know, we're just kind of getting over the pandemic stage, you know, where everybody wore, you know, what do you call those masks? And, you know, now we're a little afraid anybody coughs. We're like, you know, we're kind of on edge about that. But hey, this is something that would be good to be contagious about, thankfulness. So we've seen how David demonstrated his thankfulness. Another question we might ask is this: why was David so thankful? First of all, because he truly knew God personally. He truly knew God personally. No man who truly knows God can help but abound in thanksgiving and praise. If you honestly search your heart and find that you are generally not feeling thankful, then I urge you to take time to further search your heart and find out whether or not you have a personal relationship with the Lord. If you truly have repented of your sins and trusted in Christ alone to save you from sin and its penalty, hell, and yet you do not feel thankful most of the time, then you apparently have not grown in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have remained a baby Christian. You need to start growing by reading God's word with a desire to know him better. And you need to be spending some real time in prayer talking to him, unburdening your heart to him, confessing your sins and your failures and your weaknesses to him, and asking him for his enablement to live a life of victory and joy and thankfulness. If this is something that the Lord is speaking to your heart about, I encourage you to think through what I've just said. Nurture that relationship with the Lord. If you know you're saved, then you need to be growing. You need to get to know the Lord better. You need to grow your relationship with him. The man that knows God then understands what is happening to him. not as chance, like good or bad luck, nor as a result of capricious fates, nor even as a result of your or other people's manipulating of circumstances, but rather as what it really is, things brought about and allowed by a sovereign, all-powerful, all-wise, merciful, gracious, and loving God, who is personally involved in every aspect of this universe and in your individual life. One who truly knows God and understands his character and ways, as he has revealed himself in his word, then knows that every joyful circumstance is directly sent by God as an overflowing of his nature of goodness and love. One who truly knows God and understands his character and ways, as he has revealed himself in his word, then knows that every difficult or even tragic circumstance is allowed by him ultimately for a good purpose in our lives, in the lives of those we affect. I hope you'll memorize Romans chapter 8, verse 28, if you have not done so yet. And we know that God is working all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So knowing all that, a man or a woman who knows God personally, who knows the security of his loving heart and perfect care, cannot help but have a thankful heart. So David was thankful, first of all, because he truly knew God. He was thankful. He was thankful, secondly, because he did not forget what God had done for him. As David wrote in Psalm 103, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." Oh, listen, we have really good forgetters, don't we? I keep telling people that I have a really good forgetter, and so I've got to have ways of reminding myself of things. And the older I get, the more my forgetter works. You know what I mean? And so David was saying, oh, don't forget anything that God has done for you. We as sinful human beings all too often forget the important things we should remember, and all too often most easily remember the things we should forget. Think about that for a minute. David had an eternally thankful heart because he often took time to remember all that he knew about God and his ways and purpose. And he reviewed daily the wonderful things that God had done to and for him. Oh, that we would take a lesson from David and review daily the wonderful things that God has done to and for us. You may be sitting in the pew right now or listening on Zoom, as some of our folks are on Zoom right now, or even listening to this message later on our internet website. And you're having a hard time remembering good things about God. Oh, listen, if you need to get prime the pump, so to speak, then start reading through the Psalms. David remembered the good things God was doing for him, and he wrote it down in Hebrew poetry form. By the way, Hebrew poetry, as I've taught you before, does not have rhyme like Western poetry does. It's more parallelism. But listen, read through the Psalms and realize that there are so many wonderful things that God has done for you. If you've trusted Christ as Savior and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are his child because you've repented of your sins and you place your faith and trust in Christ alone to save you from sin and its penalty, then you need to nurture that thankfulness. And you do that by remembering what God has done for you, especially salvation. Start there. Thank the Lord for your salvation. Some of you have a tendency toward depression or at least discouragement. Some personalities are just that way. Other personalities are always happy, and if you're the other kind, you feel like slapping them. Okay, don't slap them, okay? But learn from them. And the way you do that is you remember what God has done for you. Start counting your blessings. That's the first hymn that we're going to sing this afternoon in our praise and testimony time. And if you aren't able to be here for that, then take the hymn book and read through the lyrics of that hymn. Because we need to count our blessings. That means remember them. And remember more. And then remember even more what God has done for you. Probably starting with salvation is what I begin with. And I thank the Lord for saving a wretch like me, as the writer of Amazing Grace said. And then I thank the Lord for the wonderful wife that he gave me, and that he let me meet her when we were 16. What a blessing that I've got to know her all these years. I won't tell you how many decades that is, lots, but praise the Lord for that. And the children God's given me, and the grandchildren God's giving me. The people in this church whom God has given me as ones that I have the joy to shepherd and teach. Praise the Lord for those he has given me the privilege of leading to Christ, so that in a sense they are my children in Christ. Oh, listen, I can go down the list, and the fact that I can still walk, I can still talk, I can still do many things, even though I'm 67 years old. You know? Listen, what a blessing. God has given me so many things. You start counting your blessings too. Start remembering what God has done for you. David had an eternally thankful heart because he took time to remember all that he knew about God and his ways and purpose. And he reviewed daily the wonderful things that God had done to and for him. Let's us do that too. The third and final question we should ask and answer is this. What does David's life teach us? His life teaches us to ask ourselves this important question. Am I thankful? Do you know God personally? Do you know the security of his loving heart and perfect care as David did? If so, then you cannot help but have a thankful heart. If you do not find your heart very thankful very often, then that is a sure indication of one of two things. By the way, to clarify this, I'm not asking whether you are ever thankful. Everyone, no matter what their spiritual condition may be, at some point or other is thankful for something. What I am putting to you is this: thankfulness should be the ruling attitude of your heart all the time. If it's not, there is something wrong, and that something wrong is due to one of two things. Consider the first one. The first possibility is that you do not know God personally. You may never have come to the place in your life when you were confronted with the truth that you are a sinner, a rebel against a holy God, and that you deserve an eternity in the lake of fire away from the presence of God and his angels. You were confronted with the truth that God the Son left heaven in order to become your perfect substitute to take your deserved punishment for your sin. You have never agreed with God about these truths, and you have not yet put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sin and its penalty. I remember when I was 7 years old, and I was in New Jersey, and Pastor DeVeldi of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, I remember that, 7 years old, and I remember hearing a message about hell. And I remember as a seven-year-old boy, he usually had a notebook and a pencil, and I drew pictures during church services. And I love to draw. I just have that art desire, even if it doesn't come out very great. And I remember drawing and all of a sudden stopping drawing because this was getting interesting. Oh, wow, talking about hell, that's interesting. And as he described hell, I perked up my ears and I listened. And one of the things that finally got through to my 7-year-old heart is that I deserved hell. I was a 7-year-old kid. My dad was a missionary and the pastor, and they were great. My parents were great. They were perfect as far as I knew. And I remember knowing in my heart that I was a sinner. Nobody had to twist my arm and, brainwash me and tell me that I was a sinner. I knew I was. I lied. I was selfish. I did all sorts of things that I knew were sins. And I realized that I deserved the lake of fire, just like everyone else. And I'm so glad that God worked in my heart to where I then trusted Christ as my Savior. And I have been his child ever since. So if you realize you've never trusted Christ as Savior, this is what the Holy Spirit is showing you right now. Would you agree with God right now in your heart with these truths that I have just outlined for you? And will you accept by faith his finished work of salvation on your behalf? Jesus paid it all, the hymn writer wrote. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, one of the words he said was, "It is finished." In other words, he had fully paid for our sin. This payment for our sin is not for everyone. It's only for those who will repent and trust Christ as Savior. So you can do this right now, this moment. If you would like some help and guidance to make sure of your salvation, please talk with me after the service. I'm approachable. I'm not someone that you have to run from. Just talk to me. Just tell me, I want to know how to be saved. Would you talk with me? And I'd be glad to. If you're on Zoom or you're listening later on our website, please text me, email me. And in one way or another, we'll get together. We'll communicate, even if it's by talking on the phone or using video chat, whatever. But let's talk. Let's take care of your salvation. To repeat again, if you do not find your heart very thankful very often, then that is a sure indication of one of two possibilities. The first one, as we've just described, is that you are not saved. The second possibility is that you have repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in Christ alone to save you, but you do not know God very well. You have failed to read and study his word daily. You do not take every opportunity to hear it preached, nor spend time fellowshipping with others who know him as Savior. This means that you're not familiar with his character, nor his ways and purpose. You don't know or don't remember very often what he has done for you. You're not aware of his daily mercy and grace, his kindness and goodness to you. Therefore, your heart is not welling up with genuine thankfulness. You can take care of this problem by confessing it to God and asking him for his enablement to start getting to know him better by taking time to read his word every day with a hungry heart, wanting to learn more about his character, his ways, and his promise. Listen, if you read God's word with just this idea that I got to read God's word, and you're just letting your eyes run over the words and you're not really taking it in, then no, it's not going to do you any good. But if you have a hungry heart and you ask God, show me who you are. Show me your ways. Show me what I need to change. Show me your promises. Then he will. He promises to do that. Read his word every day with a hungry heart, wanting to learn more about his character, his ways, and his promises by talking to him naturally in prayer, by listening to the preaching of his word regularly, and by spending time fellowshipping with those who know him personally. With these ways, you will nurture that relationship with the Lord and therefore your thankfulness. By the way, if you do feel thankfulness, what are you thankful for? Are you focusing on the things that you're thankful for or on the one who provided them? But I find in at times of Thanksgiving that some people are thankful, but it's more like just thankful that they are who they are and they've got what they've got, instead of thankful to God for what he has done. Thankful to God they live in a wonderful country called Canada. Thankful to God for his salvation. Thankful to God for his provision. If you're truly thankful to God, then how can you demonstrate to God your gratitude? Like David did, you need to demonstrate it first to God by your consecrated heart and by bringing every thought into submission and obedience to him. With that foundation in place, you can then choose to be genuinely thankful to your wonderful Heavenly Father in everything. Did you notice I said you can choose to be thankful? How many caught that choose? Hey, thankfulness is a choice. Do you know that? You can choose to be thankful. And like all other attitudes of your heart, it is something you can decide to do. You can decide to rejoice. You can decide to love someone. You can decide to forgive. By the way, when I say you can decide to love someone, we're talking about agape love, not emotional or romantic love. No, agape love is a love of choice. It's a love that seeks God's best for that person that you choose to love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You can choose to be thankful. And here's a command to be thankful. Therefore, you can choose to obey that command. Like David did, you can then demonstrate it outwardly by your words, first of all. In your conversation with others, let them know what God has done for you. And I'm not talking about fake stuff, okay? Not fake it till you make it, but rather truly be thankful and then share that with someone. Don't say it if you don't mean it, but then get busy and mean it and then say it. In the course of your daily routine, let your heart burst forth with a song of praise to God. By the way, you may not feel like singing praise to God, but it is something you can decide to do because it is the right thing to do, and God's grace, his enablement, will enable you to do it. Now, you may say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I can't sing. My singing is just basically monotone. Or, how many of you know the Scottish bagpipes? How many of you have ever heard those? You know that there's three drones there. You understand what I'm talking about? Just kind of the same note that just drones on. Okay, they're kind of like the background drone. You may say I'm one of those. Okay, fine. And you may want to do it really quietly when there's other people singing. That's fine. But when nobody's around, let the Lord know your thankfulness by your singing. Even if it's off key, the Lord knows your ability and your inability. But he wants to know what's in your heart. Oh, listen, you can let your thankfulness to God come out in your correspondence with others, even in texting and email and social media. Let it come out in what you post on your wall or on your profile. You may say, Pastor, you're way behind the scenes. I understand. You know, I'm 67 years old. I'm still back there, okay? Email. I still use email. Some of you are saying, email? Never heard that in years. Whatever. However you're communicating, communicate your thankfulness to others. Let your thankfulness to God for His goodness and kindness also come out in your finding ways to be good and kind and forgiving and patient and generous with others. To summarize what we've learned from God's word today, do others sense that you have a thankful heart? Do they know by your words and actions and attitudes that it is rooted in the fact that you genuinely know God personally? That you walk and talk with Him daily? If you would have to honestly say that your heart is not genuinely thankful all the time, which one of the two reasons for that problem has the Holy Spirit shown you in the course of this message? Do you know the Lord personally as Savior? If not, will you humble your pride and repent and ask Him to save you now? You can do that in your seat because God hears your heart, even though you're not saying anything out loud. You can do it in your seat, but if you need some help, some guidance, you would love for me to show you from the Word of God how to make sure of salvation, please talk to me. Talk to me after the service. And if you're on Zoom or on the website, then email me, text me, communicate with me so that I know how we can communicate. I can help you to make sure of salvation. If you do know the Lord personally as Savior, but you know your heart is not thankful all the time, maybe not much of the time, what are you neglecting in your relationship with the Lord? Remember, if you fail to read and study God's word daily and you don't take every opportunity to hear it preached nor spend time fellowshipping with His people, then you won't be familiar with His character nor His ways and purpose. You won't know, won't remember very often what He has done for you. You won't be aware of His daily mercy and grace, His kindness and goodness to you. Is the Lord pointing out to you that this is the reason for your lack of thankfulness to Him? Will you repent of this serious neglect of your relationship with Him? Will you fix in your mind what you will do differently from now on by His grace? I'm called upon from time to time to counsel couples who are having difficulty in their marriage relationship. One of the things that I encourage them to do is to nurture their love for one another. And you do that with practical things, by what you say, what you do, what you avoid doing. And you need to do that regularly to nurture that relationship. What's lacking in relationship with the Lord? Nurture that relationship with the Lord. Would you bow your head, close your eyes? As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, I encourage you to consider what we have studied from God's word this morning. I pray that you will respond to what the Lord is showing you in your heart. Are you thankful? Would others say that your life is characterized by thankfulness? Would they know that that thankfulness comes from your knowledge that God is the one who has given you all these things? God is the one who is doing all these good things in your life that brings that thankfulness in your heart. If you couldn't say yes to that, would you analyze carefully the reason for it? Which one of those two things that we studied today would you say is a reason for your lack of thankfulness? Do you know the Lord personally as Savior? If you're not sure, if you're not 100% sure, please, would you talk with me afterwards? Let me help you to make sure from the Word of God how to be saved, how to make sure of salvation. If you would say, Pastor, I know the Lord as Savior, I can go back to a day and time where I understood that I was a sinner. I realized that I deserve the penalty for sin, the lake of fire. But I also was aware that Jesus died for me. He died for my sin. He paid for my sin. And I asked him to save me. I know that I did that. But I know that I'm not thankful. And I realize I have not been nurturing my relationship with the Lord. I haven't been growing in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have neglected spending time in his word daily. I have neglected spending time in prayer with him daily. I have neglected the preaching of his word. I have neglected fellowshipping with God's people. I know why there is a lack in my life, my relationship with the Lord. Would you confess that to the Lord right now? And would you ask him for his grace to change that and begin to nurture your relationship with the Lord? The Lord is speaking to your heart. You would say, Pastor, I really would appreciate you praying for me. I know you won't point me out. You won't embarrass me in any way. Pastor, I ask that you would just pray for me. I'm not absolutely sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone? Is there anyone who would say, Pastor, I know that I am saved, but I know that I need to nurture my relationship with the Lord. Would you pray for me? And I'll be glad to do that. Is there anyone? God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you there. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you are doing in hearts this morning. Father, I pray that you'd be with those who raise their hands, being honest with you and allowing me to be the witness to their response to you, that they have trusted you as Savior, but they are lacking in thankfulness in their hearts, in their lives. I pray, Father, that you would help them to understand what is lacking, whether they are failing to spend time in prayer with you, failing to spend time in your word, failing to be under the sound of the preaching of your word as often as possible, failing to fellowship with your people, with others who love you and want to grow in Christ. I pray, Father, that you would work in their hearts, strengthen them, give them an abundance of your grace, your enablement to begin to change in these areas that you have shown them. And Lord, may they truly become so thankful that they will affect others around them. And they will have a testimony to give to others, especially unsaved loved ones and co-workers and neighbors, and have a desire and a burden to reach them for Christ. I pray that you do that work in each heart that only you can do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.